And it's now 8:49 on this Thursday morning, and joining me, as he usually does this time of the week, is Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Well, this week we're talking about three theatrical productions, and the first being presented by the Speakeasy Stage Company at the Calderwood Pavilion. Tell us about Other Desert Cities.
Well, this takes us out into the desert, into Palm Springs in the mid-1990s for a family who's sort of isolated out there as a group of pariahs, at least this couple and their... The woman in the family, her drunk sister who lives with them that they have to take care of. I mean, this is very much, this is an interesting piece. It was on Broadway just last year. It was written by John Robin Bates, who also created Brothers and Sisters, in addition to, you know, the television show, in addition to a bunch of theater. And it's very much in the Edward Albee, Arthur Miller vein of family drama, because you find this couple, this very conservative couple. He at one point had was a former B-movie actor and then leads the GOP out in California. They constantly refer to their friends Ron and Nancy. She's a former screenwriter and, as I mentioned, taking care of her very drunk sister. And they're dealing with this terrible trauma of a son who had committed this atrocious act much earlier in their lives, and which sort of isolated them from the world in some regard, because I don't want to give away too much of the plot line, but it got national headlines, and so they were just mortified by this act. So this play sets us down at Christmas time, and their youngest daughter is coming home, escaping from the liberal elite that she hangs with in New York, and she's gone home to California, and she presents her family with the fact that she's going to write a memoir, and she's going to talk about her brother, their son, who committed this atrocious act, and basically what it did to the family. So, of course, as you can imagine, this all unravels over the Christmas holiday, and you see all of the neuroses and problems within the family come out, and we do have a small clip here. This is actress Karen McDonald as Polly Wyeth confronting her daughter and her potential betrayal.
How could I ever trust you? How could I ever be in your presence, my dear? If you betray the trust of the family, a family that has taken great pride in its discretion and its good name the past three decades, you would still be my daughter. But the meaning of it would change.
So, of course, it gets very dramatic. I mean, it starts out very light, and it has actually got some terrific one-liners. I mean, she's, again, out in Palm Springs in her caftans, and she's complaining that her daughter looks like she just escaped from a library as a refugee in Kabul. And then, of course, it shifts into this terrible dynamic. There's also a great performance by an actor who plays the son, and he's trying to keep the family together. He's sort of the one even-keeled person who eventually also breaks down. It's a very complicated piece. In the end, it's not Arthur Miller. It's not Edward Albee. But it does, you know, I've been wrestling with this ever since I saw it at the opening on Sunday, and I think it probably does get at some of the family dynamics that we see today that may seem a little quaint when we go back and see All My Sons or Death of a Salesman, one of those people, one of those plays, rather. But it's a pretty intense couple of hours, and I will say when I saw it on Sunday, it was a little rocky, I'm sure, because it's just very large in scope. It's something that will tighten as the run goes on.
Okay, the play, the latest from John Robin Bates, Other Desert Cities, at presented by the Speakeasy Stage Company at the Calderwood Pavilion through February the 9th. Next, we move on for Sondheim fans to a production of Marry Me a Little.
Yeah, so this is, of course, sort of the complete contrast of what I was just talking about. This is light and frothy, and it's almost like dessert. This is a very short piece. And basically, in 1980, Craig Lucas was one person who took a look at all of this music that Sondheim created that never made it into shows. They either got cut early on in the process. I mean, actually, if you read the playbill, it's pretty fascinating. Some pieces made it all the way to New York and finally got cut in previews. But these are all love songs to some regard, and it's music that you will recognize immediately. One of my favorite Sondheim pieces, A Little Night Music. It's from the very first pieces of music you hear in Marry Me a Little. You can tell it came from that show. Also songs from Anyone Can Whistle, Folly's Company, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And basically what you have here is you have a quadrant. You have four rooms set up at the New Repertory Theater, and you have these characters who have no lines. They're just singing songs, but you get a sense of their personalities by where they're living and how they're dressed. You have sort of the scruffy young guy in the apartment that's very unkempt. You have the girl who's got sort of the pink, poofy bedroom, and she's clutching her teddy bear. You've got the woman who appears to have just come home from work. She's well-dressed and goes straight for the bottle of wine, which she proceeds to drink heavily. And then across from her, you have this gentleman who just sort of seems to be the sad sack in a nice New York apartment. And they start singing these songs, and they start singing to each other. And this is the first time that the Sondheim group, or Sondheim himself, has allowed for gender-blind casting here in terms of you have same-sex couples singing to each other, you have the traditional couples. So it sort of mixes everything up. And it's just a really lovely time in the theater.
So for Stephen Sondheim fans especially, this is something that they will really enjoy. Marry Me a Little. Presented by New Rep Theater, it's at Watertown's Arsenal Center for the Arts through January 27th.
And I should also mention, there's a young woman who we have started to see on the Boston stages. Mm-hmm. Her name is Erica Spires. She's got a terrific voice. Yeah. She's a great actress. She stars in this show. And this is just evidence of why she is such a talent. She's terrific. And here she plays the violin as well. I mean, everything else is just accompanied by two pianists. Here she is playing the violin, and she is definitely one to watch.
Now, our final play that we're looking at is by an organization or company that you've been wanting to see for some time. They're called Whistler in the Dark. Fascinating.
Yeah, as I keep mentioning, I mean, there's just such an abundance of art in this community. And as much as I get out and as much as I see, there are still, you know, huge epic fields, I feel, that I haven't been able to experience. I've been hearing a lot about Whistler in the Dark, which is a very, very small theater company. Finally, last night, I was able to go to one of their shows. It's called Vinegar Tom. And this is a company that, in their mission statement, they explain what they're trying to do, which is take away sort of some of the trappings of theater. Make it very simple. Make it just about the actor in the space. So this is performed actually upstairs from other desert cities in one of the rehearsal halls at the Calderwood Pavilion. And you've just got basically a very simple framing of a house. You've got people in very, very, very simple costumes. And Vinegar Tom is about essentially the witch trials. It takes us to the 17th century. It's a play written by Carol Church in 1976, and it's in that regard, it's very much what you would expect. It was written in 76 as part of a feminist theater collective, and takes a look at what happens when you get this galvanizing force in society. You know, things start to go wrong. Your butter's not churning, or you're having difficulty with romance, and you suddenly start to blame the woman next door. Well, she must be a witch, and it evolves from there. But because they take away all the trappings of theater, you're watching these actors who I have to say are phenomenal. I'm sitting here thinking, how have I not seen these people in other pieces of theater, because they are so good. And as I mentioned, it's the 17th century. They have this terrific dialect. I mean, they're excellent, excellent actors. And this is all punctuated by very simple music, too, including a singer, Veronica Barron, who I thought was phenomenal. She's got this really seductive, alluring voice. And it's this very pointed music that breaks up the acts here.
Fascinating. Now, you mentioned this is written by...
This is Carol Churchill.
She's a British playwright, right?
I believe so. I actually don't know a lot
so
about her.
So does this refer to Salem at all when it talks about witches, or is it totally abstracted from that kind of...
It's very much abstracted from that. And you sort of, you know, I was also reminded of last night of a conversation I once had with Gregory Maguire, who of course wrote Wicked, the book on which the musical is based. And he wrote that based on sort of Saddam Hussein. And you know, when he first emerged on the scene, and we didn't necessarily know a lot about him, of course the atrocities were later proven true, we realized that he was struck by the fact that a community would just rush to judgment, as they did with Saddam Hussein. Again, of course, it was true. And that's how he developed this about the witch in Wizard of Oz, that we were rushed to judgment. And that's exactly what you're finding here in Vinegar Tom, too.
Vinegar Tom, presented by Whistler in the Dark at the Boston Center for the Arts. Here's some music from the show. And Jared, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and we'll see you next Thursday.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Whatever you do, you must pay.
Fingers are pointed and knock at the door. You may be a mother, a child, or a whore. If you complain you're a witch, or you're lame, you're a witch. Any marks or deviations come for more.
Got big tits, you're a witch. Fall to bits, you're a witch.
2 hours of local conversation starts at noon today. Thoughts, ideas, and opinions rooted in Boston. But right now, stay with us for more of WGBH's Morning Edition here on 89.7 WGBH.
This program is made possible thanks to you and Precision Fitness Equipment, providing New Englanders with home and commercial exercise equipment since 1988. You can visit precisionfitnessequipment.com for a location near you. Precision Fitness Equipment. And New England Subaru, offering the Subaru Outback with symmetrical all-wheel drive. More information available online at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's SubaruofNewEngland.com.
Public Radio from Boston for New England. I'm jazz host Eric Jackson, and this is 89.7 WGBH Boston. Online at WGBH.org. Boston Public.